that's wonderful. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so good to us, Lord. Thank you for the fellowship that we share. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for who you are to us personally. Lord, we just want to honor you and give you all the praise. Lord, we pray that as we continue in this service together, Lord, that we would hear from you. You know what our souls are in need of, our spirits and our what we want and what we need, Lord, from you. And thank you that you always richly supply, Lord. So we trust you and we thank you for everything, Lord, that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So welcome out there. So glad that you're able to join us. For those of you who made the trek in on a cold Sunday morning, when it could have been easy just to pull the cover up just a little bit more for a little bit longer, you know, something made you get up. Or was that a someone? Amen. And so we, you know, it's just a privilege to get the time to talk about Jesus. You know, one of my favorite things to do, and, you know, as I say often, it's, I count it a privilege just every time I get to boast about my Lord,
yes.
Our Lord. And, you know, it's especially wonderful because I'm in the company of people who know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, you all are like, yeah, I mean, I'm not talking to people for whom this will be strange, right, or a stretch. Amen, amen. And so just going to get right into this morning's message. And the topic or the title of the message is Walking in Love with Jesus. And, you know, our theme for the month of November is Walking with Jesus. And so this topic this morning, Walking in Love with Jesus. And it's, you know, when the worship team started singing, Lord, I Love You. I was like, Lord, see? Yes, yes. That's right down the lane of where you were leading me this morning. Lord, I love you. And, you know, loving Jesus and being in love is what we're going to be talking about.
Right.
Being in love with Jesus. And, you know, there, you know, we know that there's a lot of reasons we have for loving him. But when he talks about being in love, you know, we can say, I love you, you know, to folks, and that can mean different things. But when you're in love, stuff changes and things look different. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, walking in love with Jesus. And our text is John 14, 15. And we're going to read around that text. But for right now, just that one verse, it says, Jesus is speaking. And he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Does the word obey bring feelings of an uneasiness? In a fellowship where grace is celebrated, it could, but it doesn't have to. As I thought about what was happening in this passage, what came to mind was that Jesus is merely stating a fact. If you love me, you'll show me. Jesus is communicating his love language. The main idea is when you love me, my love language becomes your love language. When you love me, my love language becomes your love language. So some of you may be familiar with a book written by Gary Chapman. The book is entitled The Five Love Languages. And it's whistling, I guess, you know, the microphone. So the five love languages discussed in this book says that when we feel loved, that we feel loved when our intimate partner speaks our love language. We can learn to show our love to our partner in ways that are recognized. The climate, he says, in our relationship shifts when we are speaking the love language that is recognized by the other. We can fill up our partner's emotional love tank, he says, by being very intentional about how we show them the love. There are other books that he wrote on this subject. He has The Five Love Languages of Children, The Five Love Languages of Teenagers, The Five Love Languages of Singles, and he just couldn't get enough of them. So there were five love languages identified in this book. And love language number one was words of affirmation. Love language number two is quality time, spending quality time. Language number three was receiving gifts of love. And number four was acts of service as being a language. And I see somebody going back there and say, that's mine. And then physical touch. He also talked about love being a choice. So when we receive the gift of salvation, we entered into a relationship with Jesus. This relationship is the most stable relationship we will ever encounter. In our text passage, John 14, 15 through 21, I'm going to ask you to turn to that. John 14, whether your phones or your Bible. Sometimes you put the two, the hearing and the looking at it, sometimes is helpful. John 14, 15 through 21. So I'm just going to read through it and then break it down just for a little bit. It says, if you love me, verse 15, he says, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. If you love me. Now, he tells us in this passage how he's going to keep this relationship going when he leaves the disciples. Because this chapter starts out by comforting them. You know, he's speaking words of comfort to them because he knows that it's about time where he's going to physically be away from them. And in true form, he wants to relate to them. He starts out in the first verse says, don't let your hearts be troubled. And, you know, I just love his way with them. His way with them is also his way with us. So he tells them how he plans to keep this long-distance relationship going. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And, you know, from time to time, this made me think, you know, pastor for a couple of weeks now, he's been saying, who has it better than us? And, you know, we go, nobody, because of Jesus. You know, we know, who has it better than us? We know Jesus. Nobody has it better than us, you know. And as I thought about what Jesus was saying to his disciples, actually, we have it better than them. Because from time to time, they would have to go back to their homes. And Jesus would go somewhere else. They would have to go do this and do that. And then they would have to catch up with Jesus somewhere along the way. But he's saying, you know, it's not going to be like that. I'm actually going to take up permanent residence with you and in you. You know, this is probably something they couldn't really fully understand what that was going to mean. But this is the promise he's giving them. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. Amen. I will come to you. And this much, you know, felt so soothing, feels so soothing to hear him speak so tenderly to his disciples. And those words actually speak tenderly to me, too, because I am not an orphan in this world. And many of us, you know, will not be with our parents forever. We will have to say goodbye to our parents. But, you know, even in that, the Lord is personal in that I don't feel like an orphan. And a lot of that has to do with him and who he has put in my life to actually take the place of that gift of parents that I had. But anyway, he promises that we would be able to see him. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And that's very important for us to key into this morning. We will see him. And that has a lot to do with the love language, the love languages. Because I live, you also will live. And then he repeats again what he started this little section with. He says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. We're going to explore just one of those foundational statements that Jesus made. He repeats it over and again. He repeats of what it looks like to love him. When someone repeats something, it's very telling. It means that something is important, right? And so he said it again. So it wasn't in the context of comforting them. He speaks about this love command. And it's in the context of how he wanted to comfort them. So walking in obedience, Jesus says, is walking in love. Love is the foundation and driver of the relationship. Obedience that flows from love is the example that Jesus gives us. But first, let's get it straight. He loved us first. Before we even start talking about what it's like to walk in love, we have to acknowledge how it all started. It didn't start with us, and it won't end with us. The love we now want to share started with Jesus. He was the instigator. He was the pursuer. He was the one who would not take no for an answer. In Romans 3, verses 10 and 11, he tells us that there was nobody who seeks God. He says, there's nobody that seeks God. Don't get it twisted. You know, sometimes if it's like, you know, when we know him and we are walking with him, we forget that he is the instigator. He is the one who's making it all happen. He's the one that's making it all happen. And so we can trust him. So we did not come out of the womb, according to Romans 3, desiring to know God. Something happened along the way for all of us. And as we take time to reflect, we may find that it was more than one occurrence when someone began showing us the love of Christ or began telling us that there was a way to God through faith in Jesus. Perhaps it was God-honoring parents or grandparents reading us Bible stories before bed, or a friend in school, or a boyfriend in college, or a social media post from some fanatic who we later learned was just someone who was in love with Jesus. We were all otherwise minded. We were content to live life as we saw fit. Then we were given the gift of faith and accepted that Jesus Christ was more than a historical person, more than the world's savior. He became a personal savior. We wouldn't even care to love the Savior if he didn't love us first. So let us explore what it means to walk in love with Jesus. What says, "I love you"? How do we speak the love language to Jesus? And it's important to learn our, you know, people that we are, you know, around their love language. What says love to you? We may want to ask somebody that we're in close proximity to. What says love to you? Because this morning we're going to talk about what says love to Jesus. He told us. He didn't keep it a mystery. He wanted them to know, and he wanted us to know. So in Gary Chapman's book, one of the first love languages he says is speaking words of affirmation. So to affirm is to acknowledge someone's feelings and character, to provide positive reinforcement and strengthen their self-belief and confidence. Now, you know, because we're in love with Jesus, you know, sometimes we affirm him. I heard a lot of that this morning when they were singing, "I love you, Lord. You are worthy." They were affirming Jesus by their language, right? And I heard, I mean, Solomon, I mean, he was just pouring on the love talk to Jesus this morning. He says, "You are great because you are great, because you are our Father." And he was just telling all the reasons why he loves him so. And, you know, taking time to do that, you know, when you get up in the morning, sometimes I say, "Good morning, Lord." Because I'm just waking up. He's been, you know, probably waiting to hear from me. He's like, "She's asleep. Soon she'll be up." And that's what you do when you love somebody. Imagine Jesus being that way with you. Any moment now, she's going to say something to me. Any moment now. Because he's just in love with us. And, you know, knowing that, knowing all he went through to have this relationship makes me love him. You know, that, y'all singing that song this morning, I had to like, because he did a lot just to show his love. Amen. Everything in heaven that he left. I mean, he doesn't need our affirmation, really, right? Because we read how angels around the throne are always singing to him. They are always singing his praises all the time. No night there, so it's all the time. He left that and came down here. And because he knows all things, he knew exactly what he would face. it was not a surprise. He knew what he was getting into.
Amen.
And when I think about that, I was like, and then you're going to be like, okay, Grace, I can't wait to talk to you now. You know, sorry. I'm waiting. So when I wake up, I say, hey, Lord, good morning. Okay, because I know he's always there, ready to talk. And affirming him sometimes, I said, Jesus, I know you love me. And, you know, and it's important to agree with the fact that he loves us. That affirms his character and who he is. He's not like us. He's not holding no grudges. He's not remembering our sins. Your sins and your lawless deeds, I won't even remember them. Come on now. Really, Lord? He chooses to forget them. So I thank him for that. I say, Lord, thank you that it's a fresh start with you today. It's a fresh start. No old baggage, no old stuff. Remember what you did? No. Good morning, Grace. I'm just waiting for you to start your day. Because I'm right here.
Amen.
And, you know, Jesus, I said to him, you're true to your word. That you will never leave me or forsake me. These words affirm his character and tells him how I feel about him. I'll say, Jesus, I can't live a day without you. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Saying these things out loud, and what we, as I was looking at this, saying these things out loud and doing all these things, they're for us. They're not for him, per se. They're for us. Helps us to know how we connect with him. In our human way, we connect with the divine nature. Isn't that awesome? We connect with the divine nature, with all that he is. We constantly are connecting with him. It's awesome. It's like, wow. So it's Elizabeth Barrett Brown. I decided one day I want to say this poem to you, Lord, today. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach. Oh, yes. So we're walking along, Jesus and me, and I just got to repeat this poem to him because he loved me first.
Amen.
He loved me first.
Yes, he did.
He loves me completely.
Yes, he does.
So how do I count the ways? For the ends of being an ideal grace, I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seemed to lose. With my lost saints, I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death. Jesus, this is my love poem to you today. Yes, I love you. This is a love language that we can speak. It's a true love language that we have opportunity to speak. He says, so when we're thinking about his words, if you love me, he's saying, if you love me, you're going to show me. And that love is the foundation, the overarching pillar, or, you know, I don't know how to even put it, of this relationship that we share with him. Love language number two, spending quality time. And you know, in Chapman's book, he gives this example. He says, have you ever noticed that in a restaurant, you can almost always tell the difference between a dating couple and a married couple? He says, dating couples look at each other and talk. Married couples sit there, gaze around the restaurant. You'd think they went there to eat. You know, he's like, he probably immediately start looking. I was thinking, yeah, immediately start looking at the menus, like, what are we going to get? So how can I communicate my love for Jesus by spending quality time with him? Chapman speaks about taking the time to give our undivided attention to our spouse. He said that watching a TV show is not the same. Huh. I kind of thought it was. We're spending time together. He recommends quality time is that spent without any distractions. So it's like, okay, we're just going to sit here and look into each other's eyes. But yeah, just kind of trying to think, you know, about, you know, that he was sharing. But so during one of our quality times, something about my quality time with the Lord, spending undistracted time with the Lord is a love language. And it's not coerced, and I'm not doing it because of a command. It's a pleasure. It's a one way that I can say, I love you. Just one way. So I was reading Luke 4, and it said that, you know, in verse 42, Luke 4, 42, it says, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. And I wrote, I am learning that quality time with the Lord is not calculated in minutes. You know it's been quality time when you don't want the time to end. And that could take 1 minute, 5 minutes, but however minutes it is, you just don't want it to end. The time that I spend with you, there's so many songs that says we communicate as friend with friend. Quality time, undistracted time. Lord, this is just me and you time. And it is, there's something special. We came in, you know, different ones, you know, we had that time of Thanksgiving on Wednesday prayer time. And there's just something about setting aside just a couple of minutes where it's just you and the Lord. It's just, okay, here we are. So what are we going to talk about? Well, first, let me tell you what I love about you, Lord. And he talks back. It's in those quality time moments where he speaks to us. But guess what? I'm learning that he can speak through even the noise of life. Because sometimes life gets so complicated, so filled with stuff, that, you know, actually the Lord, he comes through the noise. There's a psalm that says he breaks the cedars or something like that. And so that verse actually came to me one day when I was like missing my quality time with the Lord. I was planning on quality time with the Lord and it just was not happening. Stuff kept coming in and I was like, okay, Lord, I guess we're not going to get away today, you know. But then the Lord started sending sweet nothings to me through the noise. I love you with an everlasting love, Grace. When you pass through the waters, they won't overflow you, Grace. When you go through the fire, you won't be burnt. He started sending these words because I couldn't get that undistracted time with him. But it was okay, right? He understood. He's still, he's there wherever I am. That promise that he gave to his disciples, he says, look, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you when life gets busy. When you're carrying a heavy burden, I'm right there with you. Let me show you how to carry it. The times when I said, Lord, this is too heavy for me. I'm giving it to you. This is just too heavy. I can't. He says, give it to me. We're in a relationship, and it's long distance, but then it isn't, right? Because he's right here. That was the sweet thing that he was telling his followers. He says, look, now don't weep, because if I don't go away, then the comforter won't come. So it is to your benefit, actually, that I leave you, because I'm going to send you my spirit. He will lead you. He will guide you. So if we have a guide, then we don't need to feel lost. Sometimes we feel lost, don't we? We feel lost. Don't know where to go, who to turn to. That's okay, because he says, I will lead you. And as I affirm who he is, I will say, Lord, I know that you're guiding me. Guide me. Help me see through this smoke, this fog, this mist. And before you know it, it's on the other side of me. He is true. He is so true to his word. So the scripture there, that example of them saying, don't leave. They tried to keep him with them. So quality time. There's the example that many of us are aware of in Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. Scripture tells us about two disciples who Jesus met as they were walking to a town called Emmaus. And we've read that story probably, some of us. It says, as they approached the village to which they were going, this is like down in that verse, this is verse 28, after they had been walking and talking with this stranger along the road, they're about to part now as they're walking. And as they approached the village, their destination, Jesus continued on as if he was going in a different direction. But they urged him strongly, stay with us. It's nearly evening. So he went in and stayed with them. So when he was at the table with them, he broke bread, he gave thanks, he gave it to them. Then they saw who he was. And he disappeared out of sight. They're like, oh, this is familiar. This is very familiar. Oh, it's you, Jesus. And so then they ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us, while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? There was something going on there. There was a burning going on inside, and that's how they explained it. That quality time with Jesus left them feeling kind of warm inside, on fire, as it may. Have you ever felt on fire with the presence of the Lord? Yes, yes, his presence in us, sometimes physically feel like it's a capped volcano. that needs to erupt, or else you just don't know what you're going to do with yourself, right? Quality time, quality time. So those are the two love languages that Gary talked about first, affirming, using, you know, affirmation, and quality time. Now, the last three love languages are all tangible expressions of love. They, I dare say, are the true languages of Jesus, love languages of Jesus. The practice of these says to Jesus, I love you. We do not have the physical Jesus here to practice these expressions of love, but we do have some instruction on how to speak these love languages to Jesus. In the story Jesus told in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 40, verse 40 ends with these words, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. So here Jesus actually gives them some real important information. What you do to the least of these, you've done unto me. And in that passage, I won't know, for the sake of time, read the entire thing, but this is where Jesus was talking about at the end when there will be a separation of sheep and the goat. He says, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And, he'll put some on his right and some on his left. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. The righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you, a stranger, invite you in? Etc. The king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Amen. The old saying, action speaks louder than words. If we want to say, Jesus, I love you, Jesus says, whatever you've done to the least of these, that's what you do to me. The last three love languages are actual physical things that we can do, but not to the physical Jesus. But he already told us how to make the connection, how to speak his language of love. Whoever we consider least, and I put in parentheses, I'm so challenged by this, because Jesus is saying, whoever I find difficult to love, perhaps it's someone who I'm not naturally drawn to, whoever is least in my assessment, whatever I do for that one, I've done to him. Every single day, I'm challenged by this. I wrote. So while I'm affirming Jesus, acknowledging his divine nature, his glorious presence, all that he's done, I am also loving him by how I treat the least. It is how we treat others that communicates our love for Jesus. The example we have from John 21, 15 through 17. His conversation with Peter. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, do you love me? Do you love me?" No, I don't think he did that, but he said, "You know I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Yes, could it be that Jesus was saying, is show me by taking care of my sheep. This is how you do it. This is how you do it, Peter. Do you love me? Okay, this is how you do it. So the last three love languages. Number third one is receiving gifts. Gifts are visual symbols of love. And for some, this is a language that, this is something that speaks to them when you give them a gift, right? So it's the gift, not so much the gift you've heard it said, but the fact that someone took the time and was thinking about you. You know, we know there are ones among us who are so thoughtful and personal in their gift giving. When they give you something, it's so right on point. And you know who you are. You know, it's just, you have a gift for gift giving. You have a gift for gift giving. You feel the love. You think, wow, they knew me so well in picking this out. So, you know, we can, when we're giving gifts to one another, we're giving them to Jesus, right? Acts of service. Now, acts of service, this has to be perhaps Jesus' foremost love language. Being a servant, doing the job nobody else wants to do. Serving others speaks Jesus' love language. It says to Jesus, "I love you." And so, you know, an example of this, you know, in Luke 22, verses 24 to 27, the disciples were having a little argument among themselves. And the argument was, which one was the greatest? And Jesus heard this argument among them. And so, he didn't scold them. "What are you talking about? Haven't I told you that, you know, haven't I told you time and time again?" He decides to give them a little story. "Let me tell you a story." And so he talks to them, about how the Gentiles lorded, their way is to lord their authority over you, right? And then he says, ask them a question. Who is greater? The one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? And then he uses himself as the example. But I am among you as one who serves. So I can imagine that as Jesus was with them, he was probably the one saying, "Hey, can I get you something to eat? Did you have enough?" Jesus knows that love is a choice and cannot be coerced. So he gave the disciples an example of his own actions. "I am among you as one who serves." So the one who is serving is the greatest. This is revolutionary thinking. Going back to our text passage, Jesus says, love is command. Love is synonymous, he's saying, with obedience. So if we're thinking about acts of service, And the servant being the one who is the greatest in Jesus's language system. It's more than giving you the biggest piece of chicken, right? You know, when you watch, Everybody Hates Chris, that family, so, the mother would say, leave the biggest piece for your father. Okay, your father gets the biggest piece of chicken, okay. Gets the first piece and gets the biggest piece. So it's more than giving the biggest piece of chicken. It's getting the best piece of chicken, putting it on a plate, putting a napkin around your neck and saying, here. So it's not just leaving them the biggest piece of chicken. It's serving it up for them. Jesus was that type of person. And he always used himself as the example. You know, we know the story of how he washed their feet, took off his outer clothes, rolled up his sleeves and said, I'm gonna wash your feet. Why? I'm giving you an example of what this looks like. So that was indeed his love language, because he took time to say it often, show it often. This was what showed love to him. The last love language is physical touch. Now, I can't physically wrap my arms around Jesus, but I can sure wrap my arms around you. I can sure wrap my arms around you. And I can do that in a way that communicates my love language to Jesus. When I'm doing it because, well, Jesus, that's how Jesus would love you. I can't wrap my arms around Jesus physically, but yes, when I wrap my arms around you, I'm wrapping my arms around Jesus. So if you love me, Jesus says, and if you love me, you'll obey my command. You know, loving Jesus has nothing to do with earning his favor. Romans 8 tells us that when we have accepted Jesus, he made it possible. We're no longer under condemnation. Loving Jesus and obeying Jesus are synonymous. Loving Jesus are those expressions that flow from a grateful heart. Obedience are words and actions that flow from a heart that says to Jesus, in the words of my favorite Christmas character, Elf, I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it. There are no hoops that I won't jump through for my Jesus. What I won't do for love and what I will do for love is a new song that I sing. I can't even list the things I do for love. A love that will not let me go. I can't even list a lot of things because they're just too personal. This love affair I'm in with Jesus. There are thoughts I won't allow to take up residence in my mind. There are words I try not to say because I'm in love with Jesus. From the words of Bobby Caldwell, what you won't do for love. I guess you wonder where I've been. I searched to find a love within. I came back to let you know, got a thing for you and I can't let go. Jesus, you hear what I'm saying? You get my vibe, Lord? My friends wonder what is wrong with me. Well, I'm in a daze from your love. In a daze from his love. Can't you see? Got a thing for you and I can't let go. That's our love walk with Jesus. That's walking in love with Jesus. Some people go around the world for love, but then they never find what they dream of. What you won't do for love. You've tried everything, but you don't give up. In my world, only you make me do for love what I would not do. Amen. We get to practice intentional love acts from an overflow of gratitude and genuine joy. There's this other song that I close with. It says, every time I think about you, every time I read about you, every time I hear your name, I start to smile. Every time the sun starts shining, every time the wind starts blowing, every time I feel your anointing, I start to smile. Let me take the time to say, I love you, Lord. Let me take the time to say, I care. I love you, Lord. I'm in love with Jesus. Actually, it's because he's in love with me. Walking in love. And that's it. God bless you. God bless you.